Welcome to Dog Travel Experts. I'm Tracy Hotchner, here with my co-host Paris from DogTipper.com, who is a travel expert with great ideas and advice about getting out of the house with your dogs, whether it's around the block or around the world. Call us with your questions about the challenges of traveling with your dogs or email us at RadioPetLady@gmail.com and send your mailing address for a free sample box of Whole Life Pet freeze-dried protein treats for dogs or cats. Please check out the whole week's worth of live pet radio shows I co-host on our own Radio Pet Lady network. The schedule is at RadioPetLady.com. Dog Travel Experts is a production of 8 Paws LLC and LT Media Group LLC, which are solely responsible for its content. We'd like to thank our sponsors and let you know we've invited these companies to be here. Give us a call, 888-627-6008. We'd love to hear from you. Our number is 888-627-6008. Well, Miss Paris, we're a week away from July 4th. Can you believe we're almost, what does that make us, halfway through the summer or something?
It's amazing. You know, officially summer just began, but it's like we're halfway through summer. You know, here we are nearly July.
It's crazy. So those of you that are wondering, maybe I'll do something with my dog this summer, well, you better start doing it now. Today, Halo ran on our wonderful friends at Halo Purely for Pets on their Facebook page or their fan page, or I can't keep one thing straight from another. They ran some suggestions I had made last year about July 4th and how to keep your dog safe and comfortable and happy during fireworks. And I imagine that it really does relate to our show because we're dog travel experts. So what if somebody thinks they should take their dog to a fireworks exposition? Not such a good idea.
Not such a good idea. I mean, unless you've really got a laid back, you know, dog, I think the dog's best place is at home, you know, with some music on, have a little noise, even if you're not home with your dog. If you turn the TV on a little bit, put some soft music on for your dog, I think that's a far better place for your dog than in the car with you or at, an, you know, some kind of fireworks exhibit. Because that's really a fearful environment for any dog, I think. You know, between the crowd and that noise and the flashing lights, I think it's going to freak out most dogs. And, you know, the 4th of July results in more lost dogs than any other day of the year. So,
oh,
you know,
Paris,
you don't want to become
I forgot
a statistic.
That is a statistic, isn't it?
It is.
The dogs run away, right? They get loose. Some of them are so panicked, they actually break out of their home. Some of them will go through windows and screens. And they run, and then they either get killed and the people never know, or they just get picked up by animal patrol somewhere and people never find them?
That's right. You know, that is a huge day for shelters. July 5th, when animal control picks up so many dogs, the shelters are already at capacity with puppy and kitten season this time of year. So then in come all these lost dogs, you know. And it's really something to worry about. And if you're going to have a party in your house, you know, you want to have your dog contained in a room with a closed door so that there's no chance of your dog bolting out that door that's opening and closing through the night with your guests, you know.
And that chance to bolt out the door.
That's right. What's
funny? One of my dogs, Scooby-Doo, and if any of you have a thunderstorm fearful dog and you think that that is going to then translate to fireworks, it doesn't always, but give us a call because it's well worth discussing. 888-627-6008. In the Halo blog, I had some suggestions from last year, but guess what? Every year I get new suggestions, and now I have a wonderful partner in crime, Paris, and she has ideas of her own. So give us a call. Somebody tonight will win a prize from the prize kennel. We're hoping for lots of fearful people calling in, fearful for their dogs. That's 888-627-6008. The strange thing, Paris, about Scooby-Doo, who became thunderstorm phobic, I'd say when he was 9 or 10, he'd never minded.
Oh,
and
wow.
All of a sudden, it hit him like a slap. And he now, the minute that there's thunderstorms, or God forbid the generator goes on, he thinks that means there must be a power outage.
Mm-hmm.
So he'll run to us even if the generator goes on. He thinks, well, a storm must be coming. I put his anxiety wrap on, which is the concept behind the anxiety wrap is torso compression, the idea of a hug as if you were wrapping your arms around the dog. It's a very, very stretchy material, completely breathable. So even in the heat of summer, it's a four-way stretch that fully breathes. And it apparently is designed with acupressure points on the spine, because it's tighter in some places than others, that have a calming effect. And it's been remarkable for him. And I've had a couple of friends get them. One of the friends of Cat Chat and Dog Talk, she got an anxiety wrap and used Adaptil, which is another great thing to use just in general to calm a dog, for a dog with severe separation anxiety. And it worked really well. It's something that you need to try on your dog tonight, tomorrow, Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday. Just don't only put it on the very first time when you know there's going to be a storm, or a storm has started, or you know there are going to be fireworks. The idea is that the dog realizes, first of all, it feels very comforting and makes dogs quite so relaxed that they'll lie down and sleep. They'll even go, in Scooby's case, from trembling and panting and shivering to lying down and sleeping.
That's
pretty dramatic. I mean, you can't make that happen accidentally. But you want it to have a positive association that is not associated just with the thunderstorm. But he's not afraid of fireworks at all. We have fireworks by some minor miracle. We live on a high hilltop in Vermont. And we have a hill that overlooks some mountains across the way being miles and miles and miles. But if we stand on the edge of one of our places on the property, it looks like someone's giving us a private fireworks display, albeit at a distance, but extremely personalized. And I've taken him out there with me, and he just doesn't react to it at all. He can hear it, he can see it. So isn't that strange? I don't know that the two always do go together. It may really be that barometric pressure drop, or whatever the thing is that happens when dogs are really scared of thunderstorms.
That's right. And the static electricity generated by the thunderstorms. You know, they feel it in their fur. So
yes,
that's kind of a warning. Even though we don't realize yet, oh, there's a thunderstorm coming, they know it's coming. So it's really important to get any kind of swaddling garment on them early.
Yes.
You know, you don't want to wait till it's already thundering or those fireworks are going off.
I love that. A swaddling garment is exactly what it is. It is the theory behind it, of the way papoose babies and babies in some other cultures are tightly wrapped and then strapped to their mother's backs. But it's the tight wrapping, and even in our Western culture, people know with a fussy baby, they teach you in the hospital or when you have a midwife or whenever you first get your baby, how to wrap it up like a very tightly wrapped burrito, right?
That's right.
Keeps it really very calming. There's a product that I'm actually dying to try. One of my sister's little Brussels Griffins is a terrible car traveler, and I wanted to talk to you a little bit about that tonight because you have so much experience with nervous car travelers who have the kind of reaction that some dogs have to thunderstorms or to fireworks. Mm-hmm. You know, pacing, panting, with drooling, saliva, and just very uncomfortable in the car. And this happened after she was about 5 or 6 years old. And it's not like she was ever in a car accident, just so out of the blue. But there's a product called the Zen Dog Calming Wrap. And I really want to try one. And it may be just a wonderful product for us to even have share part of the time on our show, because it is a compression garment. It's stretchy, like a sausage casing, the way anxiety wrap is, which some of the other products are just a jacket. Now, a jacket is, first of all, quite hot. And second of all, it doesn't deal with the acupressure points or the concept of swaddling. It's just a jacket. And the truth is, especially for a smaller dog, if you have a sweater, a tightly fitting dog sweater, that works really on the same principles. You don't really have to buy a separate garment, except for if it's a woolly sweater or a synthetic knit, it'd be too hot in the summer. But the Zen Dog one, instead of having to put the dog's legs through it, it just goes their head. It goes over their head, but it just wraps around the chest and then around the torso. I don't know exactly how it goes on. The anxiety wrap is definitely a challenge to get your dog's legs through it. If your dog is very tall and arthritic like Scooby, you have to bend his leg up and bend the knee, mm-hmm. and it's a bit tricky. Now, neither of your dogs has any issues about this, right?
Our Irie does. Now, she has a lot of issues with thunder. Not so much, not driving the car or anything like that, but she's very thunderphobic. You know, she knows a thunderstorm is coming way before we know it. So, you know, we definitely put a compression jacket on her before the storm starts, you know, because I can tell based on her her behavior, and then I'll go look at the radar and say, oh, there is a storm coming, you know, because she knows.
Darned.
She
so
knows
you put
at least 40 minutes
out. You put the jacket style one on? You put the jacket style one?
I've tried the jacket style one. I've tried several different things. I've even tried, before I had a jacket style one, I even took a blanket and just wrapped it around her some,
no
you know,
kidding.
Tucked it tight around her, just to feel that kind of, like you mentioned, like a hug around her.
Yes.
You know, that swaddling feeling. And it only lasts so long. John and I attended a lecture by Dr. Temple Grandin a few years ago.
Oh, really?
Yes, and she was talking about the compression apparel, and she said about 20, 25 minutes, because after that amount of time, the dog has become accustomed to that feel, so they're not getting the same, you know, same sensation, you know.
I mean, no offense to her. I wonder how she knows that, because I don't know what science there'd be behind that. For anyone who doesn't know who she is, she's a woman who is a famously accomplished autistic person who a great TV movie was made. I believe it was HBO with
yes.
Claire Danes playing her. It was great. And I've had Temple Grandin on Dog Talk, my NPR show, as a guest talking about a book of hers called, I believe it had a title like Animals Make Us Human, something like that. And it ironically had a picture, I think, of a golden retriever on the cover, which was a little odd because she really doesn't know very much about dogs, but that's where the money is, if you will. That's where the public interest is. Her specialty, ironically, is feed cattle. And her profession for her whole life was designing chutes that would bring feed cattle from the lot into the slaughterhouse in a calm way, because it made actually for a more efficient meat production line.
That's right. And also, you don't have bruised steaks, you know.
That's right. You don't have panicky animals. You don't have them thrashing around and, in fact, making less good quality meat. If she was also empathetic and sympathetic to what the animals were feeling, that's very nice, but the people hiring her were trying to make this efficient and effective to get meat from the hoof into the styrofoam container, so to speak. So what she learned, she apparently had come up with, because she, as a young autistic woman, would have panic-type attacks, and found that if she put herself into a kind of compression chamber that she made for herself, she saw how cattle were put in such a compression setup to give them to be branded or to be inoculated. So it kind of held them on all sides and it calmed them. So she did the reverse. She tried to make a human version of that for herself, and it worked really well, and then wound up then making such a kind of thought process for these cattle going to the meat market, to the slaughterhouse. The kind of jump ahead of that to dogs and compression, torso compression, was kind of parallel with, like, the gals who invented and created and patented the anxiety wrap were two, like, all-American women in that they had day jobs. They only recently sold at the company called In the Company of Animals, which is a British company that makes the Halti, and was started by a really wonderful horse trainer in England who took his ideas about gentle horse training and applied them to gentle dog training with the Halti. But their background was as a dog trainer, and they developed this just for dogs. So it's funny how backwards people are giving Temple Grandin kind of the benefit of the doubt of how this idea came up, but it really didn't come from slaughtering cattle, is all I'm saying. That's
right.
Not really. And so she's taken the fact that in the public eye, what's interesting to people is dogs. That interests dogs. You know, people are interested in dogs. The anxiety wrap can also be used on cats, apparently. I would love to try the Zen Dog one also. I don't believe it about the 20 minutes, because a friend of mine who has an incredibly thunderstorm phobic dog, and thunderstorms here, at least in the Northeast, last hours and hours and hours. They don't last any 20 minutes. And it's not as if after 20 minutes the dog becomes frightened again or anxious. The dog is totally chilled the whole time. And these things are so breathable, it can stay on all night if need be. You don't have to worry about overheating your dog.
Right.
So I'm not sure about that 20 minutes. I mean, I don't know how she would have – I mean, no one has done a study of that. In fact, Tufts did a study of the anxiety wrap. It cost them a lot of money to have that study done at the vet school, and it showed something like amazing, like an 85% of the dogs that had thunderstorm fears were helped by wearing the anxiety wrap during, I guess, a real or a false thunderstorm. I don't know how they tested it, but I mean, that's a pretty good number. And in that study, there was nothing about it worked for 20 minutes and then it stopped working.
Well, so, I have seen a big difference in Irie, and I think with the biggest benefit with her is if we can stop it before it ramps up,
yes,
then the anxiety never starts. She may have some anxiety, but she's not running through the house. So
yes.
I think it just helps not to get it going, you know.
I think that's really like any adrenaline. It's sort of like once you're adrenalized, how do you put the fire out?
That's right. It's hard to bring them back down.
Exactly. So. We had a really nice email from somebody who had read the Halo blog. And when we come back from a break, we will talk about his little schnauzer who has all kinds of fears. And he was going to rush to put a garment on his dog. But there's also things you can give the dog by mouth and in the air, the Adaptyl and some of Jackson Galaxy's spirit essences. All these things work really well synergistically together. So everyone should stock up before next Thursday. We're going to go to a break. When we come back, give us a call. 888-627-6008. Let's talk about thunderstorms and fireworks. We'll be right back. This show is brought to you by Waruva, a privately owned company that makes pet food in a human food facility. So it's good enough for you to eat. All the flavors of Waruva, Cats in the Kitchen, and their more economical BFF, Best Feline Friend brands, are great for finicky little dogs and choosy cats, especially those you're trying to transition away from dry foods. Waruva chooses not to make any dry food because carbohydrates are inappropriate for an obligate carnivore, and they believe your pussycat deserves to eat as well as you do. This show is supported by the pheromone products Feelaway for cats and Adaptyl for dogs. Pheromones are chemical communicators that are a natural signal of comfort in your pet's brain. Adaptyl can help with problems like separation anxiety in dogs, and Feelaway diffusers can reduce problems in a multi-cat household. Veterinary behaviorists often recommend Feelaway and Adaptyl as stress relievers to solve behavior problems. Pheromones can help adopted cats and dogs make the adjustment to their new home and comfort young puppies and kittens who have just left their litters. Look for Feelaway and Adaptyl at RadioPetLady.com, where you can buy them from Dr. Sean's online store, PetCareNaturally.com. This show is also brought to you by Nordic Naturals for people and their pets. Research shows that even the best diets are deficient in the essential fatty acids found in their omega-3 oils. Nordic Naturals uses sustainably sourced wild fish from healthy stocks with third-party testing to guarantee purity and freshness. Nordic Naturals Omega Pet products bring the same health benefits to the cats and dogs in your family when you add Nordic Naturals omega-3 fish oil to their bowls every day. And Nordic has a special offer for our listeners. You put Pet Radio 13, as in 2013, Pet Radio 13 in the code box at NordicNaturals.com, and they'll give you 15% off of everything you order every time you order. That's for pets or people or babies or children. There's really, really cool stuff. I have shelves full of things I've ordered from Nordic Naturals, and you get free shipping on $25 or more. So you put Pet Radio 13 in the code box. You know what I was thinking, Paris? How about trying some Adaptyl on Erie? I would love to get Dr. Elizabeth Hodgkins to send you some. Is she a dog who's high-strung a lot of the time?
You know, she's not a lot of the time. There are very specific things that set her off, you know.
Why don't you tick them off on your fingers? Okay, fireworks.
Fireworks, gunshots, lightning.
Ooh.
You know, any kind, basically loud noise. Although, I have to say, she's also very fearful of large trucks. FedEx, you know,
wow.
The middle-sized trucks. Someone told me there's a little bit of difference in the motor sound. The number of rotations in the motor is different.
Oh, how
than a car,
interesting.
And so they pick up on that. I don't know if that's accurate, but I know she definitely knows just by sound whether it's a truck or car, and so she is fearful of those sounds.
All right, so let's try something. Just we'll do our own little dog travel experts little experiment. And it'll be an N of one, as they say in science. Erie will be our experimental dog. If this sounds appealing to you, I'll ask Dr. Elizabeth to send you an Adaptyl collar. Now, anyone else can buy this from Dr. Sean's online store, PetCareNaturally.com. You have to buy Feelaway and Adaptyl from a veterinarian, and that makes it really easy to get it from Dr. Sean's store. It's also sold as Comfort Zone, the same product, the same ingredient. The pheromone is in Comfort Zone. The company sells it two different ways, one way from vets and one way in the store. So if you've bought Comfort Zone, you have the same thing. But it would be really interesting to put that collar. The interesting thing about the Adaptil collar is that it goes on and it stays on for a month. Just like you put on Vectra for a month and it stays on their skin, the Adaptil collar stays on. It looks like sort of like a flea collar, like it's a rubbery collar. It's imbued with the Adaptil, which is this pheromone that is a feel-good, like a Linus blanket, security blanket. And the dog's heat, you might have to – you want to make sure it's close enough to her skin that her body heat sort of gets it going. And I'll also have her send you a squirt bottle, the spray, because you can spray that in the back of the car if, you know, you're going somewhere and think you might hit bad weather or something that would make her frightened, or on her bedding at home. And it's really something to consider for people who generally have dogs with some fear issues, like my sister's little Brussels Griffin, Lulu, who was totally fine and now isn't totally fine. And now car travel, even an hour long, as you said that thing about ramping up, it used to be she was fine in the car no matter what. Then at some point during a long car drive of 3 hours or some such, she began to get really anxious. Yeah. Now she gets anxious getting in the car. So it's like it is definitely ramping up. So I'm going to see if they want to buy the Adaptil collar, because they're not my co-host. I'm not going to ask for a free one for them. They can buy one from Dr. Sean's store. And I wonder if you don't see a difference.
I think that'd be a good experiment.
Wouldn't that be a good experiment?
That would be very good. Because I think, you know, and we've been talking about the 4th of July, and I think a lot of the same triggers that, you know, set off dogs on the 4th of July are the same kinds of things that people traveling will have with their dogs. So
That's right. You're
thinking, oh, well, I can just kind of grit my teeth and make it through the 4th of July, and then I'll have to worry about it again until next year. That's not really the case. You know, if you have an anxious dog, they will be anxious a lot of times when you travel and you're in a new situation.
And maybe they just shut down a little, right? I mean, you'll see a dog like Erie just shut down and you think, oh, look how well behaved she is. She's so calm. But really, she's got a knot in her stomach.
That's it.
You know, she's being such a good sport. She's so happy to be with you. I mean, what dog wouldn't love to be traveling, especially with the dog travel expert? But they're not having fun. They're not
the kind
of chilled out dog that's lying down and just taking a nap the way you see a great guide dog doing, right? When they're off, they lie down, they go to sleep. Dogs like Erie or my dog Jazzy, their ears are pricked. Their head is up. Their eyes are sometimes open when they appear to be sleeping. They're just, you know, they're a little on edge. So it'll be great to see if that Adaptil does some good. Now, the other thing that I can recommend to people, and I never have fully understood how spirit essences work, but I have seen them work on my own dogs. And when I used to have my show Cat Chat, I would recommend it a lot for cats. There are different, many different potions. One is for bully cats, one is for cats that are victims. There's one for even horses when they need to focus when they're training. And he came out with one called Thunderstorm Phobia for dogs with fears of thunderstorms. So I will give, and it's a flower essence on the same theory as box flower remedies, like Rescue Remedy.
Right.
Now, the thing with Rescue Remedy, they've now packaged it for dogs or cats too. I'm not sure if it's okay for cats. They've packaged it for dogs. I think it's the exact same one as for people. And it's just one potion of flower essences in this watery solution. I think it has a little bit of alcohol in it as well. But it's just one potion. And it's supposed to be a calming thing for people. Like you'd say pop a Valium. You can have, I think they come in tablets, but maybe only in liquid. I've never taken Rescue Remedy myself. But you're supposed to pop it at a moment when you're feeling very anxious, and it's supposed to calm you down. And I think people use it. It's not medicine. It's not drugs. And it is effective for them. But it hasn't been formulated for animals. It's made for people. The ones that Jackson Galaxy and Dr. Gene Hovey put together in Spirit Essences, I don't know, there must be 40 different names. There's one called Ultimate Peacemaker. You use it in a household, like if you had two dogs or three dogs and they weren't getting along, you'd identify who was the bully. The bully would get Bully Remedy. The other one would get one. It was called, something like build your self-confidence for the one who was being beat up.
Right.
But there's ones for grieving. There's ones for new homes called Changing Times. And the Thunderstorm Phobia one is every single time that there is the beginning of one of these rumblings, I struggle on with the anxiety wrap and I give him a big dropper full of the thunderstorm phobia in his mouth. I think that it's good to attack the problem from many different sides.
I think so too, because you never know what might work, you know, so you've got to try all kinds of things.
And it doesn't really matter which of the things work, as long as something works. And one of them is great for travel. So, you know, if you have that dog who has travel issues, well, you can spray the inside of the car with Adaptyl. It doesn't smell like anything to people because it's this pheromone that attracts a signal in their brain. And you can give some of the travel spirit essence, which you can put some droppers in their mouth or rub it underneath their paw pads. It's interesting. You know, one of the few places that dogs can sweat, although it doesn't look like sweat, is their paw pads, right? I mean, that's one of the problems with dogs overheating. It's only their tongue and their paw pads. So there are pores there. So if you put some of the spirit essence, it's just a liquid, a clear liquid. It doesn't look like anything. You think, is this a magic potion or what? And you rub the bottom of their paw, and you rub it inside their ears where there's a lot of, you know, vascular activity. Those are three ways, orally or underneath the paws or on the ear. It, who knows? It gets absorbed, and all these things together, I think, can make life a lot easier for a dog. And fireworks for some dogs are really scary, but as you said, for some dogs, just getting in the car and facing new situations, new sounds, new sights is kind of startling.
New smells, you know, and travel is all about new sensations, you know, for us and for our dogs.
That's
so,
right.
You know, if you have a fearful dog or one that's not super fearful, but they you just know, well, they're going to run into some situation that they're not comfortable in, then you kind of want to have this arsenal of tools that you carry with you.
I love that.
You know,
I
and
love that
you've got different things.
It's really well said because, you know, what do you want? Do you want a dog who seems fine with everything and just stays that way because you're lucky? Or do you want to have that little arsenal of tools that just make it that little bit easier for them?
That's
you know,
right.
If there's a situation where they're going to meet somebody's new dog in their house, you know, you could put the anxiety wrap on or the Zen dog calming shirt or, you know, an Adaptyl collar if you're going to go visit for a few days or the Adaptyl spray. And my one concern about fireworks, which I really think is worth bringing up, is where you close the dog in your house if you're going out to a July 4th party. Because if you put them in a room with windows, first of all, the windows show them the lightning, and the windows let in more sound than just a solid wall.
That's right.
And they can jump out the window. Now, I know that sounds extreme, but there are not a few dogs that have done that.
I've heard of that, yes.
In their terror, have gone right through glass screens, what have you. So I think in the dog Bible, I have a ton of suggestions about thunderstorm issues. An interior walk-in closet, if you have something like that, is really great because it has no exterior walls on your house. So there's much less sensation for the dog of the storm that's going on or of the fireworks. Now, some dogs, if you close them in a closet, might freak out and feel trapped. But if there's a way to, as you said earlier, play them some nice music in there.
That's right, to distract, you know.
To distract them and to sort of drown out some of the noise of the fireworks or of the thunderstorm. I guess for some people a bathroom can work, you know. Because
I think it could, a nice cool floor, that might be just what your dog would like. It's just to stretch out on that cool floor. But I know with Irie, when she knows a storm is coming, if we have not gotten a swaddling vest on her in plenty of time, she will run into a closet of her own accord. You know, she's never been taken into a closet. She will go into a closet with no windows. So I think, you know, and just watch her choice. That is her choice, is a closet with no windows. And she will get beneath the clothes. Of course, the clothes are scented like you, you know.
That's
it's your
right.
shoes in there, your clothes. She'll get under, you know, the hanging clothes. And she's a big dog, so she's up in the clothes, you know. So that's her choice, you know. And I think that's what makes her feel comfortable. So.
Yep. And so if you can arrange that, we just don't want people to go out and have a wonderful party and come home to find a dog that's, you know, destroyed part of the house and themselves trying to escape from the terror, from their own internal terror, or have run away, as you said. And what if you are not that careful person who always keeps tags and a collar on your dog, which is why we always beg everyone, always keep tags and a collar on your dog, because if they get out, and maybe someone in the neighborhood finds them, and if your name and address and phone number are there, it's really easy for them to help get the dog back to you.
That's right.
For the officials to do that, right?
It's so much easier if you've got an unaddressed there and your phone number, and make it a cell number. If you're not going to be home, make sure it's
right.
a cell number.
Always, yeah, because nothing worse than someone being a good Samaritan. They call a number and all they get is an answering machine. They're like, oh, no, I did that once. And I put these two dogs in my – they were two labs that had run away from I didn't know where. And, you know, I couldn't believe it. I lived in East Hampton. A lot of people have weekend houses there. And these people only had their New York City telephone number on this tag. Mm-hmm. I was so mad. I had to put these dogs in my garage with my own three dogs going berserk. What have you got in the garage? You know, like a lot of barking on two sides of the garage door and leaving an urgent message on someone's answering machine knowing they're not there.
Yes.
They're 3.5 hours away, like right near me somewhere, but how do I reach them? So that's another really important thing. Anytime when there's any vague possibility that your dog might be separated from you, you need to have your cell phone number on there and have your cell phone on.
Just like we've talked about for travel, you know, have that special tag for your trip, you know, with your cell number.
And that's the one that doesn't refer to an address. It just refers to your cell number.
That's right.
All right, we're going to go to a break. When we get back, we're going to change the topic. Paris has a great other new topic about dog travel and food, which I look forward to talking about. And here's the number if you want to call us, 888-627-6008. We're going to go to a break and be back in just a moment. Support for this show comes from VaxiCheck. Are you worried about the harmful side effects of over-vaccinating your dog? But is your vet worried whether your dog still has protection from previous vaccinations? VaxiCheck is a new blood titer test done right in your vet's office that shows whether your dog has immunity to the deadly core diseases and needs revaccination or not. VaxiCheck should be used on puppies to confirm whether their puppy shots really worked. Shelters should use VaxiCheck on new arrivals to separate healthy dogs from unprotected ones. VaxiCheck. For your dog's safety and your peace of mind. And VaxiCheck for cats is coming soon. This show is brought to you by Halo Holistic Natural Dog and Cat Foods, which are made from real ingredients you can recognize. Read the ingredients on the label of your own dry dog food. Can you identify what's in there? Halo uses real meat in their kibble, no rendered byproducts, chicken meal, or chemicals. The company emphasizes giving back by making donations to shelters through freekibble.com because Halo believes less fortunate felines and canines deserve great nutrition, too. Halo is a private company, partly owned by Ellen DeGeneres, where they are genuinely dedicated to keeping your pet happy and healthy, inside and out. Precious Cat Litter is privately owned by Dr. Elsie, a feline-only veterinarian whose litters are designed to appeal to kitties and protect their health. His renowned Cat-A-Track litter has a blend of herbs which entice cats into the litter box. Respiratory Relief Litter is low dust for pussycats with asthma, which makes it healthy for people and other pets in the family, too. And there are special litters for long-haired and senior cats as well. Precious Cat donates litter to shelters and rescues across the country. We are back. Paris from dogtipper.com. Those of you who read Dog Tipper, it's the real deal. She's here. She's the dog travel expert. Our number is 888-627-6008. Paris, let's talk a little about food when we travel. That's a great topic that you had said we had not thought of for a while.
Well, you know, food is such a big part of our travels. You know, when we plan a trip, we think about, oh, the great places we're going to go out and eat and everything. And food is a big part of our dog's travels, too. You know, I mean, whether it's you're keeping your dog on the food that you have at home, that's a huge plus, you know, to carry the food that you take with your, you know, that your dog eats on a day-to-day basis. Either take that with you. Or if you're going to be, you know, if you're renting a beach house for 2 weeks, plan to have some food delivered. You know, that's very easy to do. Get online, have an order placed, and have
idea.
It delivered to you, you know, instead of hauling 2 weeks of food, you know, with
that's
you.
That's a really good idea if you know you're going to be fixed someplace.
Yes, because, I mean, a lot of places there's no delivery charge. So it's very easy just to have it sent to your, you know, if you're renting a condo, a beach house for a few weeks, that's a nice solution, I think.
Really good idea.
You know, also you want to plan because like I said, dining is a big part of vacationing. You want to go out, you know, and so sometimes you're going to be able to take your dog with you. And I think a lot of people don't realize that there is that option in some cities of taking your dog to the restaurant with you.
In California, there's a lot of outdoor dining, Southern California, Northern California. In fact, the head of the Humane Society of the United States, Wayne Pacelli, with whom I have a show called Humane Talk. It's a podcast discussing his blogs about all sorts of animal welfare topics. He just adopted the cutest beagle from a rescue group in Virginia that PetSmart there does, you know, those either monthly or bi-monthly adoption events at a local Petco or PetSmart. And this darling beagle was there. And the photos on the Humane Society on his page or Facebook or something, they show him at an outdoor cafe with the dog in Washington, D.C. So there's a lot of towns, even New York City. There's quite a lot of sidewalk cafes.
It is amazing how many
people go to them on purpose. Yeah. Now, in Texas, that's a little tricky with your weather, right?
It is tricky, but I see a lot of patio dining. And, of course, some, you know, there are places with fans. A lot of the patios here are covered patios, so you're not sitting out in the sun. And then they'll have either misters or they'll have misters and fans so that you're a little bit cooler out there.
But they do allow dogs, a lot of them?
A lot of them do. And we're seeing more and more cities that have special permits for the restaurants to buy a special permit, and then they're able to say, we are a dog-friendly patio. And I think that's so nice because a lot of it's been done kind of under the restaurant table, you know.
I mean,
if you show up there with a cute dog, they say, okay, yeah, you can go ahead and sit on the patio. But they really were not allowed to say that they were a dog-friendly restaurant and welcomed and courted that business. Now, more and more cities are just saying, okay, let's have a permit. You buy the permit every year, and then this restaurant can say they are a dog-friendly restaurant.
Well, what is that permit supposed to provide other than a bit of revenue for the city?
Well, I think that's a big thing. Of course, now, like in Houston, I was looking on the Houston City of Houston website the other day, and they had a list of restaurants that had applied for and been approved for the permit.
Wow.
So that was very nice. I mean, it's so nice for people planning their trip.
Then and
they
nice
don't have an embarrassing moment, you know.
And nice for you writing a
very
book
nice.
About dog travel in Texas. They're making your research a little easier.
Very nice, because that way I can, you know, plan where do we want to go, you know, where
yes.
are we going to stop by and talk. Because, and of course, there's a big difference. Some of them are a couple of tables sitting out front. Some of them are a nice, big, shady patio, you know, with palm trees and everything.
Wow.
So you kind of want to find out, you know, what is the situation here? You know, is it going to be comfortable for the dog? Is there enough room for several dogs, you know?
Right.
You've got plenty
tables
of space.
Not too close together.
Right.
Well, you don't know what it means, at least in those towns, to have the permit, whether it means they have to provide something, whether it's more liability insurance or water bowls, or is it really just the idea of taking a little more revenue for the city?
It kind of varies a little bit by the city. And what they need to do is show that they've met certain criteria. Like I know some of them need to have a way to get in and out of that patio without coming through the restaurant.
Well, that makes sense.
Yes. So you're not having to track your dog through the restaurant. You know, you can enter that patio and leave without ever setting foot in the restaurant. So that is a big part of it.
Because you're not allowed to have the dog in the actual physical
restaurant.
That's right.
Unless you have a service dog, you are not allowed to have a dog inside of a restaurant.
So dining with them, of course, if you happen to go to France with your dog, you'd have the delight that many restaurants are dog friendly. If you look like in the Red Michelin Guide, which is the travel guide that's been around for decades and decades in France, there's actually a picture of a dog's head next to many, many, many restaurants. And either there's a dog's head picture or a dog's head picture with a red slash through it, meaning yes, they're welcome, and no, they're not.
No, they're not. And that's so nice to make it clear. Just yes or no, but make it clear.
Yes.
You know, and I've in talking to restaurants and going to restaurants with dogs in hand, leash in hand, you know,
right.
I see that a lot of restaurants seem to kind of be playing it by ear. You know, that's why I like the ones that have a permit, because just last week I was in Fort Worth, you know, for the Amazing Pet Expo. I was up
right.
there with Preston, a cute little Westie from PrestonSpeaks.com.
And she's a special friend of our show. We should
urge her
to call in and tell us more for travel tales.
Yeah, because, you know, we took Preston down to the Stockyards, which is a very tourist-friendly area. You know, and we wanted to go out to eat. So there were a lot of outdoor restaurants there. We went to a few, and, you know, we stopped by one that we knew was dog friendly, but they were super busy. So let's go to the next one. They also had an outdoor patio, but there seemed to be some question. Well, we don't know, you know, so they had to go ask someone. Yes. And, you know, they looked at Preston, who's so cute and so small and so well behaved.
Yes.
And they said, okay, sure, go ahead. But then, you know, you kind of wonder, okay, say someone had come in with our size dogs, you know, got a large dog. Would it have been a different story? Even though they're well behaved, I think they're also very cute, but may have been a different story with a 70-pound dog instead of a 17-pound dog. Yeah. So I think that's what's nice about the cities that have, you know, patio permits is, you know, okay, they're dog friendly, period, regardless if it's a big or little dog.
Yeah. That's a really good point, because we've talked before about the idea that you're traveling and you want to go out for a meal, but are you staying someplace where you can safely and legally leave the dogs? Sometimes not, right?
A lot of times not. A lot of hotels will not allow you to leave that dog unattended in the room. Even crated cannot be left unattended. So
is that more of a rule than not? Is that sort of the sort of fallback position?
I'd say it's close to half and half. Maybe a little more on the side of no, they cannot be in the room. You know, so right. I'd say probably a little bit more of the majority, you know, than the yes, they can be in the room unattended, you know, even in a crate. Because I think they're worried the dog is going to become anxious and start barking and they're not going to have a way to get hold of you.
And you can't blame them. I mean, if it only has to happen once to ruin it for all dogs, and the person to whom it happens may not have no idea their dog's going to react that way.
That's right.
Again, this would be, you know, a great reason to put an adaptable collar on, because then you have a dog that has this extra line of security blanket in the new place, in the strange environment. You know, it makes it easier on the dog, but it doesn't change the rules. If them's the rules. So you definitely, if you're going to travel with your dogs in a car and stay someplace, it should be, I guess, at the time of year or in a location where you can look forward to quite a lot of outdoor dining options, right?
I think so. You know, the outdoor dining options are very nice. Of course, a lot of them in the wintertime here, and I'm sure it is different in much colder states, but a lot of them here will have the stand-up heaters so you can sit outside with your dog, you know,
right,
when you're still warm. So that's very nice. Another option, of course, is always takeout or delivery, you know, have food delivered to your hotel room. You know, that's an option. If you've had a busy travel day, you may be happy to stay
that's
in the room,
right,
or have room service. You know, if you are in a hotel with room service, that's an option.
That's a very nice option, especially if you, as you say, you've been slogging around all day. It's kind of nice to not have to get dressed and figure out where to go.
Yeah, and well, just stay there with your best friend and have dinner.
So. That's right. Exactly. What's better than that? We have one last little break left, and then I want to ask you what you think about maybe switching to a dehydrated portable food if you're going to go on a trip for more than a day or two, and if you think that that might be an idea as a way to make the dog's food part of the trip more manageable. We'll be right back after this break. This show is brought to you by Vectra 3D for Dogs, a safe and effective topical anti-tick and flea treatment that you put on your dog's skin once a month to repel parasites with the newest technology. Vectra 3D creates a shield on your dog's skin that repels ticks and kills them fast and reliably for the entire month, while being safe for the people in your family. Older products do not last the full 30 days and only kill ticks that bite your dog, which can actually transmit the many tick-borne diseases. Vectra for cats and dogs who live where there are no ticks is the anti-flea topical treatment that kills all three life cycles of the flea. Vectra is only available from practicing veterinarians. To learn more and find out how your own vet can get the Vectra products, go to RadioPetLady.com. Support for this show comes from The Honest Kitchen, a family-owned company that makes dehydrated pet foods from 100% human-grade ingredients. Lucy at The Honest Kitchen knows that the least processed foods are the most nutritious and developed her unique foods based on this principle. The Honest Kitchen's all-natural, clean, safe products can assist dogs and cats with chronic health issues like itchy skin, ear infections, and digestive problems, which are often linked to a diet of poor quality or highly processed ingredients. Just add water to the dry mix to create a fresh, warm, healthy meal for your cat or dog. Go to RadioPetLady.com to call The Honest Kitchen for a free consultation about which recipe is right for your pet and to get free samples. You know, Paris, thinking of The Honest Kitchen, there are quite a few other companies that have followed in Lucy's footsteps and are making a wonderful variety of raw dehydrated foods that weigh nothing, that they're jam-packed with protein, fruits, vegetables, herbs. They're like super healthy, and they're costly because all the moisture is taken out. So there's, I don't know, call it double, triple, 10 times as much actual food in the dehydrated that there would be in kibble or in a canned food, because you put the water back in when you prepare it. But you've got Sojo's and you've got Oracle from Dr. Harvey's, and I'm pretty sure Stella and Chewy's makes a food like this. And other companies as well. It's become a kind of niche of dog food that people both serve at home because it's very lightly processed, so they like that health benefit. But I think there's quite a lot of people who travel who turn to this dehydrated food because it does make packing and trekking incredibly easy, or hiking even. I mean, you're a big hiker. If you had hike and the dog has a backpack and he's carrying his food, having him carry cans seems pretty unrealistic, and kibble, you'd have to put it in lots of little baggies. Whereas these foods, these raw dehydrated foods, are an incredible boon for the person traveling to places that have like kitchens where you can prepare it, or even hiking. Have you ever used any of them?
We have. We have used that, especially hiking. If we're going to be out for the day, we've got backpacks, you know, then it makes it very easy because, as you know, with two large dogs, that translates into a lot of food.
It
does. So that is a lot of weight if you don't have a dehydrated product. And, of course, you're carrying water anyway. You know, you
exactly.
will have that with you anyway.
And,
right. of course, a lot of camping sites have got water. You know, you'll know ahead of time, is there running water, you know, where I'm going. You know, if you're camping overnight, you'll know if there's drinking water. So,
a little extra of your own drinking water. Or if there's a fresh running stream, you can obviously use that as well. If you're hiking with your dogs,
especially in the heat, you know, you've got to carry, you know, the rule of thumb is a gallon of water per person per day.
Is that
That's
right?
a lot of weight? That is a
for
lot of
drinking,
weight.
Drinking, not for bathing,
yes.
just for drinking.
That's right. Just, you know, especially in the heat, you know, if you're out in the heat, because that is one of the most dangerous things. You know, we've talked on previous
That's
shows
right.
about dangers, and, you know, dehydration and heat exhaustion is certainly one of the most dangerous for you and for your dog.
That's
so you
right.
want to have plenty of water for you and for your dog. So you're
going
to have
that. Did you
find that
when you offer them the dehydrated food that you rehydrated by mixing water in with
yes.
it, and then it becomes sort of like an oatmeal consistency? Did you find that they were very amenable and open-minded to this very different textural food, that it wasn't hard crunchies like kibble or gushy like from a can? Did they just go to it right away, or were they put off by the different sort of feel in their mouth?
No, you know, they ate it right away, but I did not introduce them the food on a trip. You know, they had been introduced to the food previous to the trip. Because just like, you know, just like we're talking about compression jackets, you don't want to wait until July 4th to start this. You don't want to wait on a new food until you're out on a backpacking out on the trail. So you kind of want to break into these things. If you have a dog, you need to transition to a new food, you know, 20-25% a day, making that transition, then you can do that. Our dogs, digestively, they don't have issues with transitions to food. But, you know, a Tiki is a pickier eater. So,
yes.
you know, we like to transition her and introduce her to new things so she doesn't turn up her nose at something we've carried on a trip and we don't have anything else to feed her.
That's
so,
right. Then you'd have to give her your dinner, and that would leave you with nothing but the raw dehydrated food.
Right.
And although at least some of them are human grade and human
That's
edible,
true.
It doesn't mean you would necessarily choose that over whatever you'd brought for your own meal. Well, I think that's a really interesting option, and it's lighter on the digestive system too. So if you're even though it's, you know, novel ingredients, especially to a dog who's been on a dry diet anyway, which if anyone listens to my other shows, you know that I think that dogs should only have half of their diet from dry food maximum, and the rest should come from vegetable, fruit, some other forms of simple carbs, and protein, some recognizable protein source. And all of these foods that are – some have been around a long time and some are just being developed – as they realize there's a demand for it, which is good. It means that people really want to try this different way of feeding their dogs. But traveling people, it's almost more important to them than anyone. I think Gil Lutz, who is our wonderful blind listener who goes everywhere with his dog Satch and used to fly a lot with his dog Evie, Satch has become an Honest Kitchen pup. And that's all that he gets, because when Gil has to go around and travel – it makes it so incredibly easy for him. I mean, you can practically put just for a 100-pound dog, you know, one kind of small baggie of the food as a meal because it plumps up. And I think all of them are designed that way.
That's
Oracle,
right.
Sojo's, Stella and Chewy's. I wish I had thought to make a list of the other companies, but I should probably put a list of them. I'll put a list of them, actually, Paris, on RadioPetLady.com to do with our show, a list of dehydrated foods that are good for travel. And
that
would
be a
handy
good tool
to people.
For travelers to have,
yeah.
to refer to, I think, to try out ahead of time. You know, buy a couple
yep.
of different ones, see what your dog likes, you know, because people that are flying with their dogs, you know, whether a large service dog or a small pet dog, you know, that is a great option. Because I know Gil was talking about that dehydrated food was no problem with international customs.
That's right.
That's
right.
Huge. So,
and with the TSA, they're very picky about things. And, you know, people are often afraid to change foods, which is one of the sad mistakes of dog feeding. In fact, the more you change your dog's food, the better it is for them digestively. If they only eat one brand of one food, and particularly only dry, every single day, the actual digestive process, good healthy bacteria in their gut, become dormant and non-existent. Which is why people say, oh, well, I tried that better, more premium food or ingredient, and my dog got diarrhea. Well, getting diarrhea means your dog doesn't know how to digest real food, because some of these dried foods have sort of pre-digested the food, if you will. I mean, it's been so highly processed, the dog's digestive system doesn't have to deal with it. So if you're a traveler, one of the best things you can do is get your dog used to lots of different foods, some human foods mixed in with some animal food. Because, Paris, you're traveling and you have to stay a few more days than you expected and you run out of dog food, or you're someplace where they don't have it. It would be great if your dog could eat chicken, rice, and carrots for a few days, you know?
It is. Because we do give our dogs, you know, some meat just from our plates, you
yep.
know,
yep.
mixed in with their food. They love it. You know, I enjoy seeing them eat it because they really
exactly.
just love it.
Exactly.
And, I think that's a fun thing to do. I mean, and then, like you said, if you're out in the boonies and you run out of food, you can always get chicken and rice. So,
Yep. And you can always, you know, whip up something. You can even find it at a salad bar practically. So you want your dogs to get used to all different kinds of dog food, all different kinds of people food. The more variety in their diet is really, really, really healthy for them. There's really no doubt about that. And if you're going to be a traveling dog, which if you're listening to this show, you are a traveling dog, then you need to have that kind of digestive flexibility where whatever comes along makes you happy. And if you're lucky, a hot dog falls off the grill, but that doesn't happen every day, right?
That's right. It's just like with people traveling. You know, you want to try different things.
Yes.
You're traveling, you want to try different foods. Some of them will agree with you. Occasionally, they will not, but that's
right.
life, you know.
That's
so.
Right. Exactly. It's all nutrition one way or another.
That's right.
Well, we're wishing we will talk to you guys next Wednesday, which is the day before July 4th. But we do hope that you will take to heart some of these suggestions and get these products and try them before the actual day of the fireworks. You know, I'm hoping I can get the Adaptil collar to Erie before July 4th. I should be able to. So it would be really great to see how she responds, how quickly she tries to run into that closet. Maybe the closet, maybe she walks into the closet instead of runs into it. We don't know.
I think that'd be great. Because, you know, Irie is named for a Jamaican patois word that means all's well.
And, you know, that's lovely.
Yeah. And so I would love to see that all is well with her when a thunderstorm comes up.
That would be great. And she's 70 pounds, right? Weight wise?
Yes. 70
Terrific.
Pounds.
Well, Adaptil is going to be going to Irie, and we're hoping that everybody else goes to Dr. Sean's online store, petcarenaturally.com, and gets some Adaptil spray and or collars to just help themselves through the fireworks, along with a swaddling garment. I love that name. Paris, lovely show. Wonderful to spend time with you, as always. And I look forward to more of the same next week.
Well, happy travels.
Happy travels. Happy dog traveling to all of you. We'll talk again next week. Bye for now.